to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, September the 20th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness today. As always, I am humbled and grateful and thankful that you are with me today and willing to break open God's word alongside of me. We are going to look at, as is typical, the first reading and the gospel for this coming weekend, which is the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to, humble yourself or steel yourself, because both of them are going to be needed, I think, to hear what the readings, where they invite us today. It's pretty easy to see, and they're hard, meaning difficult words, because they invite us to a place that our instincts, that our culture, that our very beings, I don't think want to go. But it is, time and time again, it is where the spiritual life does invite us. Convenient, at least for me, to try to forget it. But scriptures won't let us, huh? So it comes up again. It's actually going to continue the theme that we talked about a little bit last week, where it left us. So anyway, for those who want to follow along, the first reading is going to be out of the Book of Wisdom, and that is chapter 2, verses 12, and then verses 17 to 20. Now, if you are one of our non-Catholic brothers and sisters, and you have a non-Catholic Bible, you're going to say, what on earth? Where is the Book of Wisdom? You might want to look in your Apocrypha if it has one. If it's not, just listen audibly, because you're not going to find it. This is one of the books that Catholic Bibles have that our other Christian brothers and sisters do not. There's lots of reasons for that. I won't go into them now, but it is written late in the Hebrew scriptures when they were attempting to develop a theology, if I might say, an idea of the afterlife. So figure just a century, maybe two, before Jesus came, Book of Wisdom. The gospel will continue to be out of Mark. We know we're going to stay there all the way now for the next couple of months. Mark chapter 9, verses 30 to 37. Again, we won't pick up immediately after last week's reading, but the theme will be. So however, brothers and sisters, you prepare yourself for opening yourself that you may receive the word well, I invite you to do that at this time. Let's break open God's word together. A reading from the Book of Wisdom. The wicked say, let us beset the just one, because they are obnoxious to us. They set themselves against our doings, reproach us for transgressions of the law, and charge us with violations of our training. Let us see whether their words be true. Let us find out what will happen to them. For if the just one be the child of God, God will defend them and deliver them from the hand of their foes. With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test, that we may have proof of their gentleness and try their patience. Let us condemn them to a shameful death, for according to their own words, God will take care of them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, brothers and sisters, if there was a thought, an image, an idea, a phrase, a picture, whatever it is, something came to your mind, I invite you to allow God to work with you on that. Sit with that. Let that fester in the best sense of that word, and infect you in the best sense of that word too, because that is one of the ways God's going to continue to speak. Okay. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left there and began a journey through Galilee. but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them the Son of Man is to be handed over to men and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise. But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, they shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can see why I say these are difficult words, right? The theme is there. It is one of humility. It is one of, in a sense, going to that lowest place. Being servant of all, which is, I don't think, at least in my experience of my life, is not a natural place that I want to go. my ego, my ambition, my image of myself wants to take me somewhere else. My whatever needs those are to be affirmed, to think I am worthwhile, invite me to go somewhere else. And our God reminds us, well, of course you are worthwhile, but that worth is not tied up in what you think it is. Let's talk about the gospel. I think I'll use the first reading to supplement it, because the first reading just kind of points in that same direction. Remember last week, it is kind of the turn, it's the hinge, as it were, of Mark's gospel, and therefore becomes the hinge of Matthew and Luke's gospel, that Jesus, up until that point last week, was, you know, really actively taking on the kingdom of the world versus the kingdom of God, and that looked like a lot of healings, right? Looked like a lot of not only healings of, you know, say, Peter's mother-in-law or lepers, but, you know, casting out demons, all these things. It was active going against the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of, you know, Satan. But on the hinge, all of a sudden now Jesus is moving toward Jerusalem and what that means. And three times he is going to speak to his disciples about what that does mean, and that it means about, again, that idea of death. And not just a physical death, by the way, but it's that idea of death. And this is the second time. The first time we heard last week, right? Which is why this continues the theme. Last week he talks about, you know, who do people say that I am? Peter says the Christ. Jesus says, well, here is what it means. If I truly am the Christ, this is where that leads. And Peter says, you can't be doing that. And he says, get behind me, right? Because this is where the journey goes. It goes to Jerusalem. It goes to the cross. And you don't lead me. I lead you. And again, brothers and sisters, if we are going to be another Christ in the world, which is what we were baptized into, if we are going to carry on his mission, of course, that means that's where we go to, too. He tells us the first time last week. He tells us the second time this week. I suspect we're going to get in the next week or three or four another time that he'll tell us again. Why do we need to hear it three times? Well, first of all, the disciples needed to hear it three times, and they still didn't get it. I think we just need to keep hearing it. Brothers and sisters, None of what I have said to you, none of what we have heard in the God, none of this is new. None of it is. But it is so contrary to the ways of the world that we need to keep hearing it, I think. Let me just say, I do. In order to remember, our lives are one of surrender. They are not one of victory or success. It is one of service and one of not adulation, but humility, which, again, that's difficult, brothers and sisters, because it takes great, trust, dependence, character. It takes a good image of who we really are to be able to say, okay, that's it. So what does that mean? Brothers and sisters, you are, and I will continue to remind you this, and I hope you continue to remind me too. You are the beloved of God. You are the beloved of God, not because of anything you have done to deserve that. You are the beloved of God, not because of any success that you've had. You are the beloved of God, not because you have worked at 5 food pantries and donated X amount of money to whatever your favorite charity is. All of which are great, by the way. But that doesn't make you beloved. God loves you because you are God's beloved, because God created you, because you are God's child. That's simply it. And what you and I need to do is remember that, because then we don't need to strive for whatever it is on this side of the kingdom to try to tell ourselves or to tell others or to show God that we are worthwhile and that we are worthy of God's love or worthy of our parents' love or worthy of our spouse's love or worthy of our kids' love or worthy of our friends' love or whatever community's love we're seeking. Brothers and sisters, you have that love. You don't need to work for it. It is given to you. It's called grace. And the more we can remember that, the more we can keep that in the forefront of the story we know about ourselves, the more we don't have to seek these other ways of trying to prove it, I think, ultimately to ourselves. Because ultimately, we know who we are, which is a mix of good intentions and ill ones, of good thoughts and ill ones, of good attitudes and ill ones, of good actions and ill ones. And our God reminds us, you are worthy and worthwhile because you are mine. And because of that, you don't need to play the game. You know, I love the image here. Jesus, they're not just sitting around the campfire here, and he says, what are you all talking about around this campfire? They're talking about it on the journey, right? I mean, the whole idea of the journey is it's our life. On our journey, we fall into that very trap of who's the greatest? Maybe we don't talk about it with our friends or our spouse or whoever it is that we're talking about. And we don't talk about it in those words. But in our minds, we might think, okay, compared to how they just did whatever that is, I did it better. Or compared to how they spoke or how they wrote or how they podcasted or how they, did whatever, I did it better. And so I think it's the air we breathe is that comparison game. And God says, until and unless you get out of that game, you're not going to get it. And he uses 2 examples to try to pull us out of that game. Again, it's a journey idea. And he uses the one, if anyone shall be first, they shall be the last of all, the servant of all. He says, okay, who is greater? He says earlier, the one who's being served or the one who's served, or serving them. And they all say the one being served. Well, he's saying, listen, then go to the lower place. Okay, not the one who expects something to come to us. And then he uses the image of child, who, of course, in that culture, maybe less so in ours, but still to a degree in ours, a child doesn't have a voice. A child, in a sense, was a liability, not an asset. A child was a dependent. A child was someone who did not speak unless spoken to, who carried no weight. And he says, listen, this is me. This is me. And it doesn't just mean, okay, let's go out and serve the children because then we're serving Christ, although it does, that's wonderful. But it also means the voiceless one is me. And if indeed we are, again, the Christ, then we need to sometimes be the voiceless one. Brothers and sisters, everything I say, I believe, and I believe to be true, but it also doesn't mean that we, and this is that delicate balance, and I'm going to have to trust you, and I hope you trust me, that it does not mean we are pushovers. It does not mean we subjugate ourselves to abuse. None of that to be true. But it is a willingness to go to that lowest place. Now, it doesn't mean, okay, you know, in corporate structure today, we got to go to the highest place because that's where we find our worth and that's where we find success and that's where we find payment and things like that. But in God's kingdom, it's the opposite. So we got to go to the lowest place and then we'll find success and then we'll find payment. And no, I mean, if that were the case, then it would simply be, you know, okay, I still want to be successful. I still want to be loved. I still want to be the one that's coming out on top. It's just in God's way, it's at the lowest place, so I go to that place in order to be at the top. Because then, I mean, really, it's still all being about the top. It's still all about my ego. And what he's saying is get rid of the ego. And that, brothers and sisters, that's the journey, isn't it? Because it's the ego that wants to be the greatest. It's the ego that wants to be affirmed. It's the ego that wants God to look at us and say, okay, you did a great job. Frankie, you did a great job. Linda, okay, because you did a great job, come. Rather than just say, ah, Linda, you're my beloved girl. You're my beloved girl, come. Come. And to allow ourselves to be loved, not because of anything we did, but simply because of who we are. I've used this image a lot of times, forgive me, just because I'm not that smart. But I think St. Francis, again, talks about that first death and second death, right? St. Francis knew, this is St. Francis of Assisi, knew well that having already died with Christ in baptism, having already died with Christ every day, saying, Lord, it's your will be done, not mine. I mean, we say that every time, right? We pray the Lord's Prayer. Francis knew that having already died with Christ, the second death, as he called it, could do no harm. And that's how he welcomed Sister Death, as he called it. Welcome, Sister Death, because I've already died. Brothers and sisters, it is a journey, isn't it? We all have reasons. And listen, I hope you do things in your life well. I hope you do your marriage well. I hope you love your children well. I hope you love your siblings well. I hope you are involved in the community well and love people well. I hope we serve others well. I hope all that to be true, but that we don't find our worth there. That our worth comes from one place and one place only, that we are the beloved one of God because God simply deems us that. And so are the people who may or may not do it as well as we do. And we don't create categories based on that. Brothers and sisters, as Mother Teresa is quoted as saying, right, that we, and she said this, God has not called me to be successful. He has called me to be faithful. God has not called you and I to be successful. Doesn't mean we don't strive for good things. It just means he calls us to be faithful. And we simply say yes to where God calls us. This way that we walk on, this journey, and we may have all kinds of reasons, like I say, to feel successful. So did Peter, right? Hey, I'm the one who said you were the Messiah. Or so did Judas. I'm the one who keeps the money. Or so does Matthew. I'm the one who's going to write scripture, right? Or Andrew, I'm the one who was the first one to follow. They all had reasons to feel like they were the best. James and John could have said, hey, we're one of the inner trio that he calls away all the time. I hope you have reasons to feel you are beloved. But you are not good because of that. Nor am I. We are beloved simply because we are God's beloved. And every day on this journey, we need to do everything we can to set our ego aside, to say, it has nothing to do with these other things. I want to do the best I can. But to the extent that I need other people to see that, or I need myself to see it to find my worth there, Francis would look at us and say, we haven't reached that first death yet. It's a habit of, it's the journey of a lifetime, right? It's the journey of a lifetime, is dying to whatever it is that our ego needs are inviting us to, in order that we can accept the love of our God and know that that journey will take us to places maybe we don't want to go. But we don't go there alone. We don't go there alone. Let's lift this in prayer, shall we? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. The fourth sorrowful mystery, Jesus carries his cross. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, my friends, I am grateful that you are with me, breaking open God's word. I wish you every good. May your week be filled with every joy. Be well, and God's peace.